dear brothers in Christ, please let me introduce myself. I am Father Joseph Henchy, a stigmatine of the Province of the Holy Espousals in the United States. I joined the stigmatines on January 6, 1946. As you can see, that's a long time ago. Then I was ordained a priest, a stigmatine priest in Rome, on July 1, 1956, to be precise, 61 years ago. In all these years, I have held many tasks and assignments. My favorite ones were always working with the stigmatine novices. I was novice master 5 or 6 times, and also prefect of the professed students and prefect of the brothers. So most of my life has been spent in formation. I joined the stigmatines, really, in 1946, hoping to go to China. The stigmatines at that time had a mission in China, of which Father John Cherizzaro, whom you knew very well in Thailand, was one of the early missionaries to China, as he was then later to Thailand. At any rate, after joining the stigmatines in 46, about 1948 or 49, the superiors called me in and said, China may no longer be an option. Do you still want to be a stigmatine? And I said, oh yes, I really liked the spirit, and I was beginning to understand the charism. One of the great gifts of my life was to have the late Superior General, Father John Baptist Zalpa, as my novice master. He had been Superior General from 1922 to 1934, and then was re-elected for a third term from 1940 to 1946, which more or less cut him off because of the Second World War. But after all these years, from my own novitiate in 1949 and 1950, how clearly I remember him reading to us his own translation of Father Lenardi's discourses to the seminarians a century or so, or young stigmatines, before we were there. So this is my background. If we are sons of the same founder, let us truly be brothers of one another. So what I'll try to do in this course is to explain to you what St. Gaspar Bertoni meant by Compendium Rude. He wrote a relatively short booklet of original constitutions. There were only 314 of them. And the first 8 of these are called the Compendium Rude, which I will explain once the reflection begins. So it's unusual when you think in the Jesuits they have 800 or 900 constitutions, and our 314 original constitutions, by and large, are based on those. I would like my model to be in these reflections some lines I read recently in the book of Ecclesiasticus, or sometimes called the Book of Sirach. The format of that book is something like we're doing here today. I am a man of almost 87 years, probably twice as much or 3 times as much of most of you. So therefore, the Book of Sirach is an old man teaching either his grandson or his grandnephew something about faith in the Lord, keeping the word of God, love for scripture, and love for the temple. So let me read you a few lines from the translator's preface, the translator's foreword, which goes back and is included in many Bibles with the book. And this is what he says in the foreword. My grandfather was long devoted to the reading of the law. Well, instead of grandfather there, let us think of Father St. Gaspar Bertoni. He was versed in the prophets and many other books of the fathers and had become very learned in them. So he decided to write something on the subjects of learning and wisdom so that people who really wanted to learn might, by themselves, accepting these disciplines, learn how better to live according to the law. So Father Bertoni's rules are not revealed in the sense, or inspired in the sense that sacred scripture is, but it's more or less he did what Jesus Christ did, was take the word of God as he understood it and try to translate it into life. So let me continue a few more verses from chapter 1 of Ecclesiasticus. He gives us this great pep talk on trying to learn the wisdom of the ages. All wisdom comes from the Lord. She is with him forever. The Vatican Council, of course, tells us that no religious order is inspired like Scripture is. But the Council also teaches us that religious life has come from the charisms of the special graces of gifted individuals. So Sirach was on. The sands of the seas, the drops of rain, the days of eternity, who can count them? The height of the sky, the breadth of the earth, the depth of the sea, who could ever explore them? Wisdom was created before everything. Prudent understanding subsists from remotest times. For whom has the root of wisdom has ever been uncovered? Her resourceful ways, who knows them? It was the one who created, inspected, and weighed her up, the Lord God himself, and then poured her out on all of his works, as much to each living creature as he chose, bestowing her on those who love him. So the word of God is not reserved for a select few. We're told then in chapter 2, just look at the generations of old and see that whoever trusted in the Lord was ever put to shame. Or whoever steadfastly fearing God was forsaken or forgotten. Whoever called out to God was ignored. Our God is a compassionate, merciful God. He forgives sins and saves in the times of distress. So I would like to paraphrase these things and apply them to Father Gaspar Bettoni. He had a very painful life, as you know. He died at the age of 76. And about 40 of these, he was suffering from serious illnesses. And if they existed in those days, he would have lived much of his life in a wheelchair. But he does tell us he stayed much of his life in a poltrona or a sitting chair or an armchair in his own room. So he had this worldwide vision of the apostolic mission, but was hindered greatly because of his very poor health. So the dark night of his soul was not just in some mystical way, but every time he got a new idea or a new hope or a new opening that could perhaps translate into life his great ideal that he received from the Lord, he would fall into some relapse of serious illness. So we will try to look at all of this as we go on and see how much of this impacted his life. And by the way, 2017 is a kind of an important year in our small Stigmatine history. It was on December 20th, 1817, that the Holy See declared St. Gaspar Bettoni to be an apostolic missionary. As I see that decree, it was not establishing that the congregation would do any one ministry, but rather to follow the full example of submission to the church through her bishops. Anyway, in this course, I will do the best I can to explain the first 8 numbers of our constitutions, which are called by the founder himself the Compendium Rude. Of course, this is a very unusual title to begin with. I think we may be more familiar with compendium than with rude. What in God's name did St. Gaspar have in mind? Did he think we were all rude? Well, no, because the Latin translation, or the Latin word rude, is not quite the same as the English word rude. The English word rude means somebody that doesn't have good manners, who's not polite, and so on. What Father Bettoni meant following St. Augustine were those who never had the opportunity to read this or that book, or for you and for me, to see and to live this charism. So let me begin with a little prayer, and they will then begin our lectures. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against one another. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. And St. Gaspar Bertoni, please pray for all of us. So we will try, dear brothers in Christ, as an old man, to communicate to young men, we will try to understand in a deeper way, hopefully, and to respond by a deeper living of this magnificent charism which in its small way God has gifted the Church. So we need to understand very clearly what St. Thomas and what St. Augustine, and for us, what St. Gaspar Bertoni meant by Compendium Rude. First of all, St. Thomas Aquinas has a much studied work called Compendium Theologiae. Well, the object and plan of this work is to try to summarize all of the doctrine of the Church. He had earlier written a much longer summary called the Summa of St. Thomas, the summary or the condensation of the words of Jesus Christ as these are now lived in the Church. So this Compendium Theologiae being then an abbreviation of the summary of the theology that St. Thomas wrote as one of his final works. So this is very much like we have in the Scriptures. We have three synoptic Gospels. What they tried to do was to take the wide experience of Jesus, his words and his message, and in some way to present these in a summary form, and it's called the Synoptic Gospels. So what this Compendium Rude would be, as is the Synoptic Gospel, or is the Summa or Summary or Compendium of St. Thomas, is a compendium of the compendious doctrine, this broad teaching, this profound and sublime teaching of Jesus Christ, realizing and fulfilling the Old Testament prophets and wisdom teachers. So St. Thomas wrote a doctrinal resume, and that's what the Compendium Rude means. St. Augustine wrote a book perhaps not known to all of you, and the title was a very unusual one for us in English. It was called an Enchiridion. Well, most of us are not very familiar with that kind of a term, but as we look up in the dictionaries and what was meant by this, it is meant to be a kind of an abrégé, as they say in French, a brief synthesis of the faith. So this is what Father Bertoni tried to do in his compendium, to give us a brief synthesis of living the Stigmatine Charism as he understood it, to make of the five wounds of Christ, not only in their sorrowful aspect, but also being the source of the apostolic mission on the Sunday of the Resurrection in John 20. Jesus appeared to them, showed them his hands and his side, and said, "Go forth into the world and forgive sin." This was the apostolic mission. Well, therefore, the classical dictionary describing Enchiridion says, "These are a band of truths weighed together. They are kept together or saved as a kind of a synopsis." So sometimes in Latin we speak of a vade mecum. That would be a little Latin book that the priest would carry with him for the last sacraments or for the anointing of the sick and so on. So these 314 rules or constitutions that St. Gaspar wrote are summarized and presented as a compendium rude. Rude in Latin can mean rough, raw, unripe, unpolished, early. And St. Augustine again has a very classical work in the same volume as is in Enchiridion called De Catechizandis Rudibus, the mission of catechizing the rude, meaning the unlettered, those who had not yet been to school. So even though presently I am 87 years old, the formation that you are presently undergoing must be continued until you get my age and until you die. It's ongoing formation, which means to have the perpetual attitude of willing to be converted by a deeper living, deeper contemplation, deeper grasp of the Word of God. So the word rude is found often in the Ignatian constitutions, like in the Jesuit rule number 20, 195, 196, and several others, as you can see in the text that I have sent you. Father Bertone also mentions the word a few times in his constitutions when he speaks of catechism, teaching catechism. And he said this has to be one of the prime tasks of the Sigmatine, to communicate the Word of God, the catechism, in an ordered, clear manner to those who are unexperienced in it, or those who have no knowledge of it, or those whose knowledge of it needs a new evangelization, as Pope John Paul II has asked us to do. So this idea of teaching the catechism to the unlettered, for you and for me, means that Father Bertone is presenting to us the rule in these eight constitutions. It's like a somewhat annotated table of contents. So here, as the introduction to this course, I will present an introduction of a tentative translation of the Compendium Rudae. And this is what Father Bertone said in Rule 1. The end, or the purpose, of this community is to be apostolic missionaries for the service of bishops. Now, we could stop right here. In fact, I have an entire course on this one word, obsequium, which comes from Romans 12, verse 1, which Paul wrote to the Romans, not to some group of religious men or women or monks in the hills of Egypt. He said, make of your bodies, make of your only life, an oblation to the mercy of God. Well, the only life we have, it's like in the gospel they speak of the widow that gave all she had. You and I are not cats. We only have one life. So the obsequium means to make an oblation, a sacrifice, an immolation, an offering to the Lord for his services. The word actually is Eucharistic. It's that, like at the offertory procession, we come and place the gifts on the altar. Well, we believe with St. Gaspar that this is what we try to do with our lives. In a symbolic way, we bring our life to the altar, asking God in his mercy through his church to bless us with the gift of religious profession, and eventually, if that is our vocation, to the priesthood and beyond. But whether we're priests or brothers, we are called equally in some way to live out this apostolic mission. So that's the first rule. What do the Sigmatines do? What is their job? Well, an apostolic missionary is a very broad title at various times in the history of the church. It could mean foreign missionary. It could mean many, many things. Father Bertone received his for his brilliance in preaching parish missions, but it does not seem that he ever intended that to be the only apostolate. So that's the first rule. The purpose, the end of this community is to be apostolic missionaries for the service of bishops. One quick word on the word service. St. Ignatius did not know Latin, so he wrote his original constitutions in Spanish. And the word servir, servicium, and servo appears hundreds of times. And his great secretary translated that and used different words. For example, auxilium, the help. We have missionaries to help the bishops. We are missionaries to serve the bishops, as it says here, and we are missionaries to carry out their orders. But this service also goes back to Isaiah 53, the suffering servant of God. And in that Isaiah 53:5, we read, by his wounds ours are healed. St. Peter took that phrase in his second chapter of his first epistle, which many think was the first encyclical to the church, and explained that same thing. By the wounds of Christ, all of our wounds are healed. And further, in that Isaiah 53, the suffering servant makes of his life an oblation to God. So it doesn't just mean help, a part-time basis. It means a commitment of one's entire life, like the Eucharist is placed on the altar to be a bread that is broken and the wine that will be poured out and come together again in the resurrection as a holy communion. So that's the first rule. And again, as I say, there are many, many studies and much reflection that's needed on that. The second rule, or the second constitution in this compendium rule, is how do we do this? How do we become apostolic missionaries? What is it we're supposed to do? So the word is modus. We often speak of, in criminal stories, how the police search for the modus agendi, the MO, or the modus operandi. How do people perform so that you could get some understanding of what they're doing or what they have done? So St. Gaspar said, after this term, the end of the congregation, he said modus, M-O-D-U-S, which in Latin means what manner, in what way, in what mode is this happened? And this is where he copies verbatim 8 lines from the decree of the Sacred Congregation of the Propagation of the Faith of December 20th, 1817, which made him an apostolic missionary. And this is what the text reads. The manner of achieving this goal, the apostolic missionaries are to work under the direction, that's the first word for obedience, and dependent on the ordinaries of those places in which their missions are offered. The missionaries are to be totally submissive, and that's the third word, concerning all that pertains to the exercise of their apostolic endeavor. The missionaries are to receive permission, and that's another word, but beforehand, also including the faculties, another word for submission or obedience, observing the outlines set down for them by the ordinaries concerning those places and the time of the exercise of their apostolate. So rather than just the one ministry of the parish missions, what seems to be the manner of the congregation of the Stigmatines is to be like a suffering servant, or to be like St. Peter teaching the word, knowing that whatever his wounds were, ignorance or his own sin or his own failures, that all of these would be healed by the infinite mercy of Christ. So right away, we have a major portion of the Stigmatine charism. St. Gaspar, as I said earlier, was practically an invalid some 40 years of his 53 years as a priest. He wrote his rule in the 1840s. By that time, he had founded the community in 1816, as we remember the recent second centenary in 2016. He wrote this rule in bed. He was unable to walk around or move around by that time, the last 13 years of his life. For the most part, he was condemned, as he puts it, to his bed or to his armchair. But he also wrote very perceptively, "I am wounded, but I am not yet dead." And that became a remarkable statement when you think of what was going on in the community at that time. They had lived the life together for 25 years, so they had a lot of lived experience. The great advantage, of course, was that the founder was with them. But with the passing of time, many of the younger men left because the Jesuits had been reinstated, and there were many, many other missionary apostolates. For example, the Comboni Fathers had gone off to Africa, and by the way, the retreat that St. Daniel Comboni made on his way to Africa was directed by our founder, St. Gaspar Bertoni. So there were many opportunities opening up. Some of them were even teaching in the seminary of Verona. Father Bertoni himself was the spiritual father there. Father Marani was the examiner of the vocations. Father Peter Vignola, who was our fourth general, he was actually rector of the seminary. So this work of dealing with the young people who want to serve the church become one of the vital aspects. So it's not only parish missions, but it's also the mission to the clergy. Along with this, Father Bertoni served for many years as confessor to young and old, to soldiers and monks, and to priests and bishops, and also spiritual director of a number of founders, like Mother Leopoldina now there, whose cause is moving along very well in the Holy See now as we speak. So the first two huge segments is what do the stigmatines do? And they try to imitate Jesus Christ in his service of his Father. So as the Father was to Jesus, the bishops of the church for us would be what we want to serve in the apostolic mission as our oblation to the mercy of God. Then the next thing, of course, becomes poverty. This is the third quality. The first was the purpose. The second was how we do that. And then it says, what spirituality do you have? St. Ignatius interpreted in his letters the rule of the entire Jesuits, these great university professors and great biblical scholars. He said the main purpose of the Society of Jesus was predicare in paupertate, which means to preach in poverty. And this means gratuity. The founder had this extraordinary idea of trust in the providence of God. So he didn't want us just to take those apostolates which were the more enriching. In other words, take those apostolates that are more interesting or something we like to do more than what maybe the church really wants. So that's why this is an oblation. Apostolic missionaries will serve God and the church as they are indicated to do so by the church in her representatives, who are the bishops. Remember in Acts 20, in the simplistic view of the early church, the bishops were appointed by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, St. Gaspar, in his great faith, believed that they would convey to us what God wanted us to do. And fourthly, the missionaries are to be totally immune from all dignities, residences, benefices, and the perpetual and particular care of souls and nuns. He didn't want us to be spiritual directors in any one convent or any one place. We could do so for a time, but this was not meant to be our entire lives. Now, interestingly enough, at the present moment, we have a Jesuit pope. Now, you will laugh to hear this, but in order to become pope, he needed a dispensation from the Jesuit rule, because this rule is taken directly from Saint Ignatius. The purpose of it was not to have ambition. These men became very learned and very influential, and they had the capacity of weaving their way into very important situations, which for the Jesuits, through history, if you know the history of Europe and the different royal families, many of them had a Jesuit as the advisor to the king and the queen, and the results were not always what you would want to, would be very laudable. So these first four items will be enough for this first reflection. We'll look at the end as we go on. What is the end of the thing? Be an apostolic missionary. Like Jesus was the incarnate word and then the Eucharistic word, you and I are meant to consume the incarnate word by divine revelation and then through Eucharist and then through the way we live our lives. So that's all for today. For now, thank you for listening.